It's lovely to be here with you all again today, to be in person and to see, to some extent, sort of being pushed into the background, at least anyway. So just lovely to be with you. And for those who are at home listening as well, it's lovely that you're with us today. Now, I'm not going to say very much about the ships because we're going to try and keep things down time-wise today. So I'm going to take my watch off, keep an eye on it. But just to say that the work on the ships is continuing. It's still challenging because the seafarers, most of them, still aren't allowed shore leave for different reasons. So you imagine, I mean, we've enjoyed freedom, haven't we? It's been lovely to sort of get out and about. They're still confined to the ships, most of them. And so when you've been on ship for 9 months to a year and not set foot on land, it's pretty grim. So it's important that I'm there with them, supporting them, which I do in all the usual ways that you know about, and to get the gospel to the ships. I can't have the same level of conversations I normally have because I'm out on deck and not inside the ship. And so that's quite challenging. But the Missing Piece booklet, which I like to give out all the time, over the course of the pandemic, there's somebody that I know has been able to get them translated in different languages. So, I've got it in Hindi and in Tagalog, which is the Filipino language, and we're looking at Russian and Chinese and various other languages. So that's been a real help to get that gospel out in their languages. But my prayer is, I hope it's your prayer as well, that we pray that in one way or another that these merchant seafarers will get to hear the good news of the gospel, because their mental health has been challenged considerably at the moment, and I just want them to know that Jesus is with them even in the midst of this storm. And I often tell the seafarers that God is bigger than COVID. and he is able to deal with it. He's done it before with other pandemics, and he can do it with COVID. So keep your eyes on Jesus. So that's all I'll say about the ships for now. But going back to the book of Ruth, I love listening to that story. And I it was kind of brought mostly to my attention as a young man when I was at Bible College back in 1983. And I was asked to write an essay on Ruth. I'm useless at academic stuff anyway, so I'm glad I haven't got that essay now with me, because I'm sure it would have been really embarrassing. But anyway, I understood the story, to an extent anyway, about Ruth and Naomi and Boaz as the kinsman redeemer. And I think more than anything, I was drawn to Ruth because she's somebody that just came across as being really lovely, very kind. And, her sort of, her loyalty as well to Naomi, it just is very touching. And it's just something about her, it just appealed to me so much that you fast forward years later when I had my first child, Natasha, my wife and myself decided to give her middle name Ruth, because it just kind of sums up somebody who's lovely, kind, and thinks of others. So though I didn't probably even then understand too much about Ruth, but I understood enough. Here's somebody who's really nice. And we need to just understand for a moment that Ruth was at a time in the judges. And they kind of mentioned the judges in those days. It was a time of moral degradation, of oppression, and they weren't really nice times. And I think this is why, as far as I'm concerned, Ruth stands out. Because they were dark times. and everybody seemed to just do whatever they wanted to do, and law and order and kind of morality was not that dominant in those times. And it makes me think about our times, you know, where it's often easy to go with the flow, isn't it? But as Christians, we need to stand up and do the right thing, you know, in our character, in our personality, in the way we behave. And Ruth really kind of is that sort of person. There's something very about her and Naomi about being self-giving. You know, they just, you know, gave themselves. And Ruth certainly gave herself to Naomi. And it kind of, for me, if I was to kind of summarise a little bit about this story, is that there's a sense that Naomi reveals that we should be people who love God with all our heart, soul and mind, and love our neighbour as ourselves. She really kind of fulfills those first two commandments of God, which is absolutely important. I think the fact that the story stands out is because she kind of lives that life, loving God and loving your neighbour as yourself. And it also reveals to us that our love for God and our love for each other is really central to God's plans and purposes for us all. You know, it's kind of, let's get down to the kind of bare bones really, that God wants us to be a loving people. And in the midst of that dark time, Ruth did such a good job of it. And we need to kind of follow her example. So there's a few things that really jump out from this passage. There's many other things, but we just have to keep it to certainly for what I feel the Lord's laid on my heart. Firstly, God uses unlikely people for his purpose. And that's already got my attention. Because that's what I hold on to. You know. You know me. I've been with you many times before. Shared a bit about myself. I don't think I'm one of these people who's able to do this sort of stuff. You know, I'm stood up the front today, you know, preaching, or I go on the ships on my own, talking for, you know, to people from all around the world. I don't see myself really like that. And I don't know whether it's just me or sometimes whether I feel that's what the church expects. They love the superstars. You know, there's people we look at and think, wow, you know, they're just amazing, you know, and they can do all these kind of things. I don't see myself like that, really. And that's why I love today when we're singing those songs, it's Christ in me. You know, because that rings true with me. Because when I was at Bible college, you know, if you think of a stick of rock, you know, the writing that goes through the rock, that sort of rock of Bible college, if you like, what ran right the way through it was Christ in you. And I needed to know that, and I still need to know that, because he makes all the difference. I've done this for years now, getting up the front, doing the evangelistic stuff and all the rest of that. I still don't think I'm good enough. That's the thing. But, and the good news is, I know it's Christ in me. So the Lord, it's almost like he says, that's all right. I don't mind you thinking that you can't do it, because you need to rely upon me. And that's just how Christ wants me to be. So it's wonderful, right away at the start of this time together, when we think about the book of Ruth, to be reminded that God uses unlikely people for his purpose. So that's all of us. We're all included in this today. For Ruth, well, she was poor. She was an outcast. She was a Moabite. And they didn't get on with Israel. And, you know, all those people, there was a division there. Israel tended to look down upon the Moabites, and they just didn't get on, really. She was an enemy of Israel. She's also a widow. And in those days, that was a big thing, you know. So there was a lot of things against her. And she's in a foreign land, and she don't really fit in at all. And there's God says, what I love about him, because he just does it totally different to us. He gets Ruth is to be a key person in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, nowadays we're and rightfully so, we sort of recognise women for, you know, as equal. They do things as well as men, sometimes a lot better than men. But the Bible's way ahead. You know, even in those times where it was like, you know, you want your wife to walk behind me, will you? You know, and it, sort of treating women is like almost like second class citizens. The Bible has never done that. You know, and even, you know, with the Jewish people and that, and Judaism and that, you know, the Word of God just brings the women forward to the forefront. And here's Ruth put in a key place. She's not even a Jew. She's in Israel. She's a Moabite. And she's a woman. You know, and it's all, you know, and God says, yeah, great, that's the one for me. And she, you know, is in that line that leads up to Jesus Christ. She's not the only one. There was Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary herself. God used all these women in key roles in the line of Jesus. Ruth reminds us that no matter what lies in our past, and no matter how difficult our circumstances may be, a little bit of faith makes a huge difference. You know, and that's for all of us today. A little bit of faith makes all the difference. God purposes and his plans for us to make all the difference. Even in our obscurity and in the mess of what might be our lives, God finds a way to use the most unlikely people that we could ever imagine. God has a way to use each and every one of us today. And I stand up here and testify that. You know, I've got a brain like a sieve, you know. Don't really think. Speak proper English. All these things, you know, and it's like, it's easy. Flesh says, just pick somebody else, God. You know, somebody could just do it much better. And God says, no, I want you to do it. Don't worry, I give you my Holy Spirit to work through you. And that is just one God good. That each one of us here, and it doesn't matter how kind of weak and useless we may feel, God can use us and wants to use us. And even today, he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And Ruth just really shows that. You know, in the bloodline of Jesus, God uses a Moabite woman, you know, who's a widow, doesn't have a son or a child at all. You know, she's on her own. She doesn't fit in. And God says, right, you're the one for me. That's wonderful. Secondly, there is hope even in the most devastating times of our lives. There is always hope with Jesus Christ. That's good news today. We know what kind of the last 2 years have been like, and many have struggled with it. But with Jesus Christ, there is always hope. Always hope. Naomi, as I said, she was a Moabite. Her husband, she wasn't a Moabite, she moved to Moab because of the famine in Bethlehem, and she went with her husband and her sons, and she loses her husband. That in itself is a devastation, and some of you here may know all about that, where you lose a spouse. She lost her husband, became a widow. 10 years later, her two sons died. And as far as Naomi is concerned, her life falls apart. And I've become more aware of these kind of situations in life, in, you know, as the years have gone by. I've met many people, some close, some not so close, who've gone through devastating times. And you're trying to make sense of it all. Where is God in all of this? And for in Ruth 1:20, Naomi says, when she had returned back to Bethlehem, And people were saying, hey, here's Naomi, it's Naomi. And she says, don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. And I love this truth of Scripture. I love the honesty of Scripture. You know, there she's saying, my life's been terrible. I've lost my husband, I've lost my two sons, and God has turned his back on me. And I think, to be honest, at times, some of us can feel like that. I've spoke to people in recent times who've gone through, you know, through real struggles and still going through real struggles, and they feel abandoned. Where is God? You know, and there's that anxiety and that anguish as they feel like, you know, this is, it's all gone wrong. It's not how it's supposed to be. But where life is very difficult, it isn't easy to have hope. You know, I recognize this. It's hard to have faith. But when things are most difficult, that's when we need faith and hope the most. When things are tough. And it may be tough for some people here today or listening on Zoom. But Naomi, she continued to hope. And for Ruth, she laid aside her pain, left her home and her family, and she turned her face to the future and that hope that lay before her. Both these women showed faith and clung to that belief that better days were ahead. You know, even in the midst of all of this that was going on, losing husbands and, you know, and all the struggles that went with it. Hebrews 11 verse 1 reminds us really of what Ruth and Naomi were experiencing. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We do live in a time where I'll believe it if I see it. But the Bible teaches us to have that hope and faith even when we don't see the answer at that time. But there are God's promises for each and every one of us that we need to hope for and to exercise that faith. Thirdly and finally, the past is not our final destination when we trust God. That's the good news. And then you've only got when you pick up the Bible, and for those of us who belong to Christ, and you read the end, it ends well. It ends well. And I hold on to that. I've been through things in the past where, when things go wrong, it all goes wrong. You know, everything goes wrong, doesn't it? You know, when you're down, then it puts the boot in as well. And there are things that I've gone through in the past where I thought it couldn't get any worse, and it's got worse. And I remember feeling, you know, crushed. That's probably the best way of putting it. Kneeling at my bed, I thought, I'll do this right. I'll get on my knees. And knelt next to the bed and just cried out to God, really. I feel crushed, God. I don't know where you are in all of this, and I don't know what the future holds. But as long as I have you, as long as you are in my life, I'll just have to take that. And I want you. And I almost experienced, you know, because I wasn't feeling spiritual. I felt crushed. But I almost felt like heaven shout for joy. It's like he's understood that Christ is first, you know. And from that moment on, over a series of weeks and months, I could see God provide the answer to what I was going through. But it was in that darkest moment where I just said, well, you know, I know if I have you, then there is hope for the future. And God certainly revealed that, yes, that was true. That may be for somebody here today, put Christ first in your life. So our past isn't our final destination. Whatever's gone before, and it might be some of the things that we've experienced today might be terrible, but that's behind you. For Ruth, as a Moabite, She lives within a nation that looks down upon her as a people. She's an outcast. She's childless. She's very poor. She could have stayed with her family and her own people. They'll accept me. They know me. She could have stayed there, but she didn't do that. She went to Bethlehem with Naomi. She left her country and her family behind. She refused to let her past hold her back. She chose the God of Naomi, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, then she went on to meet Boaz. What a love story that is. He sounds like a great guy, you know. And they have a son, Obed, who's the father of Jesse, who's the father of King David. And then it leads all the way up to Jesus Christ. Changed everything for Ruth and for Naomi. That glimmer of hope that Naomi had came good, you know. And suddenly they got provision. They've got that security of family, of Boaz as the head of that family. So really, no matter what our past is like, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. The story makes it clear. You know, we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Whatever's going on in our lives, God can bring it around and will bring it around for the good. Choosing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior will determine your final destination. You couldn't imagine that with Ruth and with Naomi, as they sat there, you know, with no husbands, desolate, you know, and Naomi saying, you know, God's abandoned me. Who could have ever imagined where they would end up? You know, with God, our final destination is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I want to encourage you with that today, to keep your eyes on Jesus. Even in our society when everybody seems to be doing something totally different, think of Ruth, you know, where she did the right thing all the way along the line. She was loyal and faithful and loving. And she really showed the attributes of God himself. And we need to be like that as well. Let's not go with the easy option, with the flow of society. Let's do the right thing. And if you belong to Jesus, you're going to end up in a great place. It may be difficult at the moment, but God's promises never waver. Our confidence in him should never waver as well.